This is Allie Marshall, and today I'm talking to Eric Lindell, who is a blues and soul musician out of New Orleans, by way of California, actually. That's where he grew up as a skate punk in Northern California. Today he's talking to us about New Orleans and the influence of that city on his music. Also, he talks about recording on an independent label and about how he believes that record players are coming back. I tend to believe him. He will be here in Asheville on Saturday, October 9th, playing at Mo Daddy's. Showtime is 9 p.m. and cover is $15. Also on this podcast, you can hear a little bit of Eric's latest album. There are clips from his songs Bodega and True Blue Love. The album is Between Motion and Rest. Your sound is so different than what I think of as like California, but I feel like you keep something of that in there somehow.
Sure. Yeah, well, you know, I grew up listening to really good music. I gotta credit my mom. You know, as a kid she loves, you know, country music and Motown and all that stuff, so that was always kind of where the music I loved, you know, and then I loved I still do, you know, and love blues and all that when I was in my early 20s, you know. But all the way back to, like, as a teenager, when I first started playing in bands, like, you know, one of my favorite bands was Fishbone, which was a band that they never really particularly had one kind of style. They kind of, everything kind of bled into the music. And I just kind of look at music like that and always have. I think that's still something that I don't really particularly try to blend different stuff, but it's just kind of all comes in, you know. I listen to a lot of different kinds of music, and you know, I really, again, like just roots and blues and country music and soul, you know. I'm a huge Curtis Mayfield fan, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's like I was saying, as a kid growing up, I played bass and we had like a 10-piece funk soul rock band, you know. And
wow,
I like to think I'm still kind of doing the same thing, but it's getting a little better, you know.
Yeah. How long ago did you have that band?
That was like in 1990. Yeah, it was like a 10-piece band, and you know, we just love like Sly and the Family Stone and all the bands from California. That Larry Graham was a huge influence on me at that time. And you know, then, like I was saying, in my early 20s I really got into blues, and you know, Junior Wells is one of my favorite. And you know, it's kind of funny at this time in like the early 90s, mid 90s, when I pretty much had like a 4-piece blues, you know, rock band, more blues, you know, not but rock in the sense of funky, you know.
Right.
You know, at that time when like Pearl Jam and bands like that were like really big, we were like had this own little pocket, really cool thing happening out there, you know. It was pretty cool that there was a scene for that at the same time, you know.
I was supposed to leave here Monday morning. Tomorrow's Friday and I'm still around. Leaving Bodega is hard to do. I'll be coming home real soon to you.
And then, you know, getting into blues in my early 20s, I think it kind of opened me up to songwriting, like simple, just 12-bar songwriting. And then you kind of, from there, you go out and you realize, like, everything really comes from that, you know what I mean? It starts
right.
To, in terms of playing-wise, it started to make sense to me, music and the whole vast, you know, it started to make a little more sense to my playing-wise, you know, coming from, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Coming from that place, you know, it's funny, I always say, like, with blues music, you can play rock and soul and funk and jazz and all that stuff with blues guys, but it's really hard to go backwards. Like, it's if somebody doesn't musically know about that part of history and, you know, that simplicity of that, then it's funny when you play with guys that just completely overlook the obvious, you know?
Do you think in a way, though, that overlooking the obvious has to do with maybe lack of experience? Because it sure seems like a lot of the best musicians really come back to that after years of playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's no way to gain that experience and that way, you know, to play. Like, I've been playing since I was a teenager pretty much nonstop, and since 95 is when my first son was born, and I was just playing music since then. So, I mean, I play a lot. I can't even imagine how many gigs I've played just to keep the lights on, some food on the table over the years. But, I mean, it's even with guys, like, I've took out younger guys. I have a drummer right now that I'm playing with, and just to watch the growth of him in the last year of playing, like, you know, 3-4 days a week, every week, out live, it's a lot different experience than you can get from just practicing or listening to music, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was wondering about what it was about New Orleans that you found. That what is it that New Orleans gives you that California couldn't and New York couldn't?
Like playing and all that. I was just talking to a fella, and I really never experienced or been anywhere like that. And musically, is in terms of playing, like, really just, it's really a player's city, you know what I mean? It's a lot of playing going on, and like every night of the week, you know what I mean? A lot of people doing a lot of different kind of stuff too, and it's pretty amazing thing, you know, amazing place.
When the sun goes down and the fog rolls in, I hear coyotes howling in the wind. It feels so good to be here again.
Did you feel like once you settled down there that it started kind of shaping your sound, or did you just kind of sort of find your own niche there?
No, I think I kind of definitely settled more into my own in terms of, like, prior to moving there, I used to play with a pretty consistent group of core guys for years. I had different bands with, you know, that I grew up playing with. And when I got down there, I started doing a trio and mostly handling guitar. And so what it did, and playing with different drummers and different people all the time, what that does is kind of, it makes you really good at improvisational, just playing, and it puts the vocals in different, you know, just the whole feel changes. And what I noticed is, I didn't notice this, but people noticed about me is, like this drummer Stan Moore that I play with down there, a good friend of mine now, you know, he said, there's this new songwriter in town, singer-songwriter. And I never really thought of myself as a singer-songwriter, you know what I mean? I wrote a lot of songs and I played, but I never, that title seemed like, you know, fit for James Taylor or something.
right.
You know, and so I guess that New Orleans definitely encouraged and recognized that side of what I do as a singer and a songwriter. I didn't, you know, put as much emphasis on it, but I guess there's not, you know, there's a lot of playing going on and there's so many people to play with. I think that was what you know, people had said in different articles or whatever that bringing R&B back to the city and you know, songwriting, basically. Because there's a lot of jam band, like funk and, you know, brass band, but not a lot of songwriters, you know. Although there are some really good ones.
Do anything to make it right. Wine and dine you by candlelight. Sweet kisses, baby, every night. Do anything to make it right. Call my name. Tell me, darling, that you feel the same. Give it to me, baby, one more time. I'll be yours, baby, you'll be mine. True.
So have you parted ways with Alligator now? I noticed that Between Motion and Rest was on your own label.
Yeah, I did three records with Alligator, and then I put that record out, that new one, on my own label, and I'm about to release a couple more things on my own label, and I'm getting ready to make a new record as well, but we're actually kind of looking around. We might, we're kind of checking out some other labels. That's always very liberating, to put stuff out yourself with nobody telling you. You know, I've done that for so many years. It was, in fact, the first Alligator record was compiled from like five different records that I had put out on my own over the years, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a good feeling, you know. But they do, you know, Alligator does an awesome job and did a great job for me. And I just put together a new record called B-Side Gems that I'm getting ready to release, and that has a bunch of other songs that they didn't release. And it's got some great tracks on it with, like, the drummer from War, Harold Brown, and a bunch of different songs. And then I'm also releasing a single of a song called Louisiana Saturday Night, a couple cover songs. So that's kind of fun doing that. I really like doing the vinyl thing and doing the art part of it, too.
Well, they say true love is hard to find. I got love with a girl like mine. True love, it don't come easy. Well, my baby, she willing to please. Call me baby anytime you can. I will do anything to be your man.
I mean, you know, with the Between Motion and Rest, I've released it first on the, we did 1,000 vinyl pressing, and we hand silk screened all the covers, and the record is like transparent orange. That's just something that I really wanted to do my whole life, and I was like, why shouldn't I do it, you know?
Yeah.
Not to mention the record came out awesome, and I was proud of it and couldn't wait to get it out, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
But I definitely wanted to release it in a cool way, and same like with this EP.